thankful to be back. My name is David Hutchison. So I've been here a few times before. I'm glad to be here this morning. The last time I was here, I believe it was shortly after my father's funeral. He passed away in January, and we had the funeral for him in March. Well, soon after that, my mother, dealing with the stress of that as well as a host of other things, she became very ill and wound up in the hospital for a couple of weeks. And then she was in rehab for a couple of weeks. And so it was a hard time. We thought we were going to lose her. I'm happy to report that she's now doing well, and she's healthy. I was recently in appliance purgatory. My dryer went out at the same time my washer went out, at the same time my oven went out. Have you been there? You know, I've found that it is true what Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. We know that's true, don't we? These last few years have been quite a challenge for our family. I taught at a Southwestern seminary, the Houston campus, for 9 years full-time and a number of years part-time or as an adjunct before that. And a few years ago, the decision was reached to close the campus. It was a pretty devastating time in our lives. It still is. I had hoped, because I taught online, and we also had a prison program where we were going down to one of the prisons here teaching a bachelor's program there. I had hoped that there might be a way to carve out a place for me. But when I had that meeting via Zoom, we're all familiar with Zoom now. When I had that meeting via Zoom and they told me what was going to happen, that the campus was closing and my job was coming to an end, I held it together pretty well. Until at the end they said, "Can we pray for you?" And at the time my mother was ill and I said, "Yes, my mother's going through cancer. Could you pray for me? Could you pray for her?" And I cried like a baby. I lost it. I hope they didn't record the meeting because I don't want to see what that looked like, but I lost it. In this world, you will have trouble. Do you believe that's true? Now, out of curiosity, you or your family or your close friends, raise your hand if you know someone who's going through something that's a pretty big challenge. Anybody? I found it doesn't take too far where either you are going through something or someone in your family is, a brother, sister. You don't even have to get to the cousin realm before you know someone. A friend. In this world, you will have trouble. Does God care? Does God care about your troubles? As Christians, should we just put on a happy face and pretend? I can't see the sign, sorry. What does it say? Podium mic. Podium mic. Move it, use it. Okay. I have my close-up glasses. I've gotten to the point where I have far-away glasses and I have my close-up glasses, so I apologize. As Christians, should we just put on a happy face and pretend we have it all together? Is that what God wants us to do? In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Does God care about our sorrows? Does God care about the pains that you are going through? Does God care about the pains that you are going to go through in the near future? Well, this is what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. He says, now all of you, here's what I want you to do. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And then he tells us how, casting all of your cares upon him. Why? Casting all of your cares upon him, casting all of your worries upon him, casting all of your anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. God cares about you, and he cares about the struggles that you're going through. Now, how much does God care about the struggles that you're going through? Well, he cares about your struggles so much that he dedicated an entire genre, an entire type of literature in the Bible to something called lament. Have you ever heard of it? In the evangelical world, it's kind of strange to many of us, this genre where people in the Bible, oftentimes through poetic forms, tell their sorrows to God. There's an entire book of the Bible called Lamentations, which in contemporary English means skip. But God cares about our sorrows. He put lament in the Bible because he knows in this world you will have trouble. There are times to sing happy songs. There are times to sing sad songs. And sometimes by singing the sad song, guess what happens? You remember what God has done for you, and your sad song turns into a happy song. But as Christians, we are not obligated to pretend that every day, well, a song even says it. So I apologize to whoever wrote it. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Well, not really. Maybe in one sense that's true, but in a very real sense, that after you come to Christ, there are some really happy days, and guess what? There are some really tough days. There are some really sad days. Now, you can hold on to Jesus, and that's by all means sweet, but we don't have to pretend that we've got it all together. We don't have to pretend everything is okay. So what is lament? Lament is a type of literature, often poetic, where you tell your sorrows to God. This is something that can be personal. There are many different lament psalms where David would talk about some of the struggles he was going through. This could also be corporate. One of the most surprising things I've learned about lament in the past few years is that lament songs were used in worship services. That means when people got together like this, like we do today, to worship the Lord, one of the ingredients that was appropriate was a lament psalm. It's okay to tell your sorrows to God. Now, turn in your Bible to the book of Lamentations. We're gonna just take a peek at a few different types of laments in the Bible. So, the book of Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So right in that ballpark, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Don't raise your hands, but if I were to do a survey here, there's a pretty good chance you've never even read Lamentations, right? Just being honest, right? Lamentations doesn't actually mean skip, but Lamentations was a book of the Bible that was written about the fall of Jerusalem. Do you remember what was in Jerusalem? Where do you go to worship? You go to the temple. Well, when God made a covenant with his people, he said, this is what's going to happen if you obey me. And then this is what's going to happen if you don't obey me, if you don't keep the covenant. Well, God made this covenant with the people, and what did the people say? We can do it. Well, guess what? They didn't do it. And God gave them warning after warning after warning after warning, saying, if you don't start loving me and loving one another, there will be judgment. And so he sent prophet after prophet saying, you've got to love God, you've got to love others. And guess what the people did? They did not love God or love others. They kept messing up. Eventually, God judged them. And so Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 says, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. She's become like a widow. So imagine Jerusalem full of people. Imagine the temple full of noise. And then imagine the temple almost like COVID went through, and there's nobody there. And not only did COVID go through, but the temple was burned. You smell that smoke of burning. Not only was there burning, but some of the people were taken away to another place. Not only were some of the people taken away, but some of the people were raped and abused. And imagine the feeling you would feel when once upon a time, or your once beautiful, glorious Jerusalem was in a wreck, and in ashes. You know what that causes you to do? It causes you to lament. And so this entire book of Lamentations is about what happened to us that we could have fallen so far. The people broke God's covenant, and the most surprising thing of all, although God said he was going to do it, sometimes God does exactly what he says he's going to do, and it really surprises us. But imagine that you go to the temple, and you see it's been burned down, and you say, well, who did this? And there's a person over there in the corner standing with the matches. And who was it? It was God himself. God himself was the one who brought the judgment that he said he was going to bring. And now he used some pagan people to do it. But what they recognize is that this is our fault. God is the one who judged us, and we deserved it. Well, as the people wrestled with their own sin and how to repent and what to do, we see these sorrows expressed to God all throughout the book of Lamentations. Well, there's another lament in 2 Samuel chapter 1. You can lament when people die. Do you have to pretend everything is okay when people die? You don't. So David lamented when Saul and Jonathan died. And interestingly, it was written to music, and it was supposed to be taught to others. Lament can be used in corporate worship. Why? Because sometimes there are times to sing happy songs. And sometimes what? Sometimes it's time to sing a sad song. So this is how, in 2 Samuel 1, verse 17, this is how it begins. How the mighty have fallen. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. And so David begins this poetic lament over Saul and Jonathan. Now, turn to the book of Psalms, and I want to actually spend a little more time here. Go to Psalm 3. In this world, you will have trouble. Does God care about your troubles? Yes, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, how many of you read a psalm? You don't have to do this all the time, but there are times. How many of you read the psalm of the day? Like, so today is the 16th, right? So today's psalm would be, guess what? The 16th, right? Now, if you really want to go next level, you add 30, and from 16 you get to 46. And if you really want to go next level, you add another 30 and you go what? 76, then 106, then 100. There are 150 psalms. So if you read five a day, sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't, but if you read five a day, you could read the entire book of Psalms in 1 month. So what you do is you just take the date and you read that psalm and then you add 30, then you add 30, then you add 30, then you add 30. When you do that to the Psalms, you get these very strange creatures called lament psalms. And you say, what in the world is this doing in the Bible? Why are they saying these things to God? Like this in Psalm 3. This is a psalm of David when his son was chasing him and he's running away from his son. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. This is David telling God his sorrows. So notice there, verses 1 and 2, he tells God his sorrows. My adversaries are increasing. Then the psalm turns. But you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory in the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and what did he do? He answered me. He answered me from his holy mountain. So in verses 1 and 2, he starts by telling God his sorrows. My adversaries are increasing. And then he starts to think, well, who is God? And he says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me. So you start off in this particular occasion, you start off by telling God your sorrows, and then you intentionally say, I'm going to think about who God is. Now why would we tell God our sorrows? Well, we've already said because he cares for us. But number two, God is actually the only one who at any time can do anything about it he wants to. God has the power to immediately, if he wants to, solve your problem. What if God doesn't want to immediately solve your problem? Well, he still has the power to do that. And in fact, how many of you, the moment your problems were mentioned to God, they instantly went away? Has that been true for you ever? Anybody? How many of you would say that almost never happens? Raise your hand. Anybody? Sitcoms are great, but we've been trained to think that the problems in our lives can get solved in 22 minutes plus 8 minutes of commercials. So we have a problem, and then within 22 minutes, everything gets resolved. Well, life doesn't work that way. Most of your problems will not be solved in 22 minutes. Most of your problems take a long time to solve. Have you found that to be true? So when we cast our cares on the Lord, don't be surprised if he doesn't just immediately yank the problem from you. Do you know what more oftentimes he's going to do rather than just taking the problem away from you? He's going to get right there with you, and he's going to walk with you, and he's going to carry the burden with you. And it's going to take 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and he's going to carry that burden with you. But so he starts by saying his problems, then he remembers God. Then verse 5, I lay down and slept. Not bad advice when you're going through troubles. Sometimes you need some sleep. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against. Now he's not afraid. He starts off and all he can think about is all the troubles. He tells his sorrows to God. He thinks about who God is, and now he's not afraid. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. He's confident. God is the one who can solve the problem. So this was Psalm 3. Turn over just a couple of psalms to Psalm 6. Now, what does it say at the top of Psalm 6? Who is this Psalm for? Do you see this in your Bible? For this particular version says choir director. This is something they were going to use in corporate worship, because sometimes it's good to sing happy songs, and sometimes it's what? It's good to sing sad songs. With stringed instruments, upon an 8-string lyre, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? How long? How long, O Lord? If you want one phrase besides the 1 Peter phrase to remember the sermon by, the 1 Peter one's good. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And by the way, if God cares for us, if God cares about our sorrows, and we are supposed to be like God, what does that suggest about us? Should we care about other people's sorrows? Well, if we're going to be like God, we should. But the other way to think about one of these lament psalms is these two words right there, how long? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like no matter what happens, God just, for some reason, just isn't intervening? Have you ever felt that way? Well, David did. And God thought it was appropriate enough for David to express that he kept it in the Bible. Now, sometimes we don't do lament because we think that's not really a Christian sort of thing to do. You shouldn't say to God, how long? Well, guess what? There are 150 psalms. And do you know how many of them are lament psalms? There's 150 psalms. How many of them are? Well, there are praise psalms. There are thanksgiving psalms. There are psalms for when you go up to. How many psalms of the 150 would you guess are lament? Approximately 60. More than a third of the psalms that God put in his Bible are lament psalms. Why? Because he knew in this world you will have trouble. And we need to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. But this how long sort of phrase occurs again and again and again. Well, in the first few verses there, he's expressing his sorrows. Look at verse 9. Look what happens. The Lord has heard my supplication. God hears. After you tell your sorrows to God, sometimes you remember what God has done for you in the past, and then you recognize that God hears you and God cares about you. And so verse 10, then, he has hope. Look at this. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They will turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. So he moves from the how long, O Lord, sort of a mindset into the God hears and then to the hope. Why would we do lament? Why would we lament? Because by talking to God, by telling him your sorrows, it can cause you to remember the great things he's done for you, and it can bring you hope. Are you glad to know that God is listening? Now, I know this will date me, and some of you have never heard of this, but do any of you remember the TV show Frasier? Right? This was a spinoff of Cheers, but Frasier was the psychologist, right? Maybe psychiatrist, I don't know which one he was. But he had a radio show where people would call in and he would say, "This is Dr. Frasier Crane." Do you remember what he said after that? "I'm listening. I'm listening." You've had conversations before where someone comes up to you and they start talking, and you don't say a single thing. And like 7 minutes later, they say, "Oh, that was great. Thank you so much." You're like, "Well, I didn't really do anything." Well, no, you did. You listened to them. And you didn't feel like you had to solve all their problems, because sometimes people just want someone to listen to you. And if you're married, one practical piece of advice is sometimes you just have to ask the person, "Do you want me to try to solve your problem, or do you want me just to listen?" Because guys in particular, you know what we try to do? We often try to solve the problem. But sometimes, and it works the other way too, sometimes my wife will say, "Do you want me to solve your problem, or you want me just..." I said, "No, I just want you to listen." Well, when we're going through troubles, it's comforting for people to listen to us. And of all people, God wants to know your troubles. He cares for you. Now, I was a New Testament professor. I'm still an adjunct. I taught in the summer, so maybe I'll teach again someday. I don't know. But so I'm a New Testament guy. So the question is this lament thing just an Old Testament sort of a thing? Is this just something that people did before Jesus? Now that Jesus has come, no more lament. Well, no. How do I know that? Because Jesus lamented too. Do you remember what he said at the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Guess what kind of psalm that was? That was a lament psalm, Psalm 22. And in fact, when he's saying this from the cross, most likely he's invoking the entire psalm, not just the first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me?" but also the parts of the psalm that say, "People are sneering at me." They were doing that to Jesus. It's that psalm says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Does that sound familiar? "I can count all my bones." Jesus' bones were not broken, even though that was typical. "They divided my garments among them." And even that lament psalm that begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It ends with hope. It ends with praise. It ends with remembrance of God's activity. So when we think about Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" you need to realize he lamented, number one, but number two, it wasn't just verse one, it was the whole entire psalm that he probably had in mind. Basically, it was his way of saying, Psalm 22, when he hung on the cross. Jesus lamented. If Jesus did, I think it's okay for us too. So why should we lament? Why should we embrace this type of literature in the Bible that is really foreign to us? Why should we embrace this type of activity in a corporate worship setting? Why should we just not reject it? Well, again, as I've said numerous times already, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Do you remember the first part of that verse? Before it got to the cast your cares upon the Lord part, what did it start with? What did it begin with? It started with the word humble, right? Humble yourselves before the Lord, casting all of your cares on him because he cares for you. When I refuse to tell God my sorrows, you know what I'm saying? I'm fine. I've got this. I don't need you. And is that true? No, we're not fine. We don't have this. We do need God. So by means of telling God our sorrows, we're just admitting the very fact, I need you. We are humbling ourselves before the Lord by saying, I need you. This morning when I got in the car, it was foggy. It wasn't foggy outside, it was the foggy inside. So you know what I needed to do? Just needed to turn the dial over to the front window defogger. And I even needed to push the button for the rear. But what if I had pretended, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to press that button. I'm just going to ignore my problems. You know, I might still be dealing with a little fender bender. Right? It's not that hard to press the button. But we don't have to pretend we've always got this. We don't always have it. So embracing this whole lament thing is saying, God, I'm being humble before you. I need you. Why should we embrace lament? Well, Peter told us to, right here in 1 Peter 5:6. Also, guess who else told us to in the New Testament? Paul told us to. In Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, he said, I want you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But he did not add the tagline that says, except for about 60 of the 150 psalms or lament psalms, and I want you to skip those. No, those are part of your worship. Look at Psalm 13:6. This is one of the things that lament psalms can do. You start off with how a lament psalm begins, and then by verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Why do we lament? Because it helps us to remember what God has done. And if you can remember what God has done in your life, it helps you get through your current struggle as well as your next struggle. You remember when David was approached by Nathan the prophet and he said, you have sinned against God. And, you know, he did it in a much more crafty way. But so what David does in response is Psalm 51. It was a lament psalm. So why would we want to embrace lament? Because sometimes we need to repent of our sins before the Lord. And lament is one way to do that. Why would we lament? Because lament keeps the lines of communication open. If you ever have to make a 911 call, what does that 911 operator want to do? Anybody a 911 operator, by the way, anybody? You know what they want to do? They want to keep you on the line. They want to keep you talking. Because you need to know help is coming. And so lament psalms, lament literature in the entire, is one of the ways, kind of like that, to keep you on the line, to keep you talking. And we've seen in some of these psalms that lament is actually a form of praise, and it can lead to what we more traditionally think of as praise. So that's a lot of reasons why we should lament. Why don't we lament? We have this false theology that we may embrace from time to time. It's kind of a triumphalism that we think that we're already there. We think we've already arrived. And life doesn't have any pain, and life doesn't have any sorrow. And when we refuse to lament, we give in to that false theology. We pretend we've got it all together. And we pretend that the only reason you ever have trouble in your life is your own sin. And that's just not true. We don't lament because we think we should only talk about happy things. We think we have to pretend to be strong. When we refuse to lament, it's kind of like a young child who's cranky and tired and hungry and dirty and doesn't really have any way to do anything about it. But the mom or the dad says, "Here, let me help you." And the child says, "No, I've got this." So if we don't embrace this thing God gave to us, we're hurting ourselves. So what do we do with this whole lament concept? Well, tell your sorrows to God, because Jesus did. When you read lament in the Bible, don't be surprised that it's there. Don't pretend. Don't feel like you have to pretend that you always have it all together. Be willing to use lament in your worship services. Make it a point to remember God's past actions. And when God shows up, what should you do? By all means, give him the credit that he deserves. Ending like we began with 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your worries upon him, your anxieties upon him, your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you care about us. Help us to embrace this part of the Bible that's unfamiliar to us, and help us to tell you our sorrows because you care for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not